It's top of the hour, Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to the program. And we've been talking about this for a few days, and more specifically this morning, it's the arts-related small business and nonprofit grant relief program that supports qualifying art-related small businesses and nonprofits that have been impacted by COVID-19. These awards range anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 for nonprofits and from $5,000 to $12,000 for small businesses. And that, of course, is based on the number of full-time equivalent employees. Supervisor Lisa Bartlett serves as the 5th District Supervisor for Orange County, representing over 650,000 residents all over South County. And that includes Aliso, Dana Point, right here in Laguna Beach, Laguna Hills, Laguna Niguel. And we welcome to the program to explain this grant program, as well as discuss a lot of other topics. Welcome to the program this morning, Supervisor Bartlett.
Great to be here.
Glad to have you. Thank you so much for getting up, coming in, and fighting this, what we call rain now. So let's talk about first the grant program. Tell us about the arts grant and how much is still available.
Okay, we still have quite a few dollars available. We've only given out or awarded $273,000. And I believe this program is about $1 million. So we still have quite a few dollars to give out. And basically any small business or nonprofit that has an arts-related core of its business can apply. So okay. We encourage everyone to go on to the website at Soup Bartlett, that's SUPBARTLETT.com, and click on the link for the Arts Grant Program. And it'll find all of the information to put in an application. And we just encourage everyone that may qualify to go ahead and submit an application.
Okay. And are there restrictions that we'll see on that website?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll be able to know whether or not we qualify ahead of time before even filling it out.
Correct.
Okay. And what happens to unclaimed grant money? Let's say, do you have a drop-dead deadline where people have to apply by?
We don't have a drop-dead deadline, but after a while, if we don't get enough applications in to fulfill that $1 million that we want to give away, we'll take the extra funds and roll it into another program that we have at the county to make sure that it might be Nutrition Gap Program or something else, but we'll take the extra dollars and roll it into the next program.
Okay, that sounds great. So we will touch on this again before the end of our conversation. This is really important and a great idea. Thank you. Thank you for, are you spearheading this?
Well, yes. It's available in all 5 supervisorial districts.
Okay.
And our district so far has had the most grant applications submitted, which is wonderful. You know, as you know, the 5th district down here in South County, we have so many grant or so many art related businesses,
right,
which is wonderful. And we just encourage all of them to apply because these dollars are available on a first come, first serve basis.
Okay.
And every dollar makes a difference right now as we start to pull through the COVID pandemic.
Okay. A couple of other subjects I want to talk about. I want to start off with a couple of questions about the Sheriff's Department. Last week, you spoke of the importance of additional and specific training to reduce excessive force lawsuit payouts. Altogether, taxpayers have shelled out about $40 million over the last decade for all types of claims. Both you and Supervisor Don Wagner, who oversee payouts over sheriff's lawsuits, as well as the county budget, you saw validity in this report.
There was a report that came out from our Office of Independent Review relative to potential excessive force with the Sheriff's Department. And while I haven't looked at the report in detail, I know that over a period of time, the county has worked with the plaintiffs and defendants in cases and had to go through some settlements that, but for maybe some specific training that would be helpful to the sheriff's deputies, we might not have to have these award payouts. And so at the end of the day, we want public safety is number one, and excessive force should never be an issue, whether it be at the county level or in any city. So it goes to training.
Okay.
And I think having the right quality trainers makes a huge difference. We have trainers for the various different departments, but when you talk about something so specific as the Sheriff's Department training, you really need someone who knows that line of work inside and out and can properly train the deputies to look for situations where they can de-escalate the situation so that there's no excessive force issue that comes out of an encounter with someone in the public.
Okay. And as personally, what do you envision the training looking like? And I think the question is there a foundational and cultural problem in the Sheriff's Department?
I don't know if there's a foundation or cultural problem. I don't think so. But I think that it all stems from proper training. And that's where I think we really need to focus, because it flows from the training down to the deputies. So when they're out in the field, they know the protocols. They know good practices from not good practices.
Right. You know? Right. So let's switch over to COVID for a second, and I'll touch on the sheriffs with COVID as well. But as the outbreaks continue hitting county government workplaces, the sheriff's department has the lowest self-reported vaccination rate among county departments. Just 16% of sheriff staff attested to being vaccinated as of last week. And that's compared with 75% of your staff, of Board of Supervisors staff. Will we find ourselves in a position where we might have to make vaccinations mandatory?
Well, depending on what happens at the state level, the state may require certain kinds of departments like the sheriff's department and other types of department that are very public facing, fire departments as well, to have some type of a mandatory vaccination program. But that would not be something we would mandate at the county level. Okay. That would be up to the state. And if the state mandate comes through, then we'll have to comply.
Okay. I want to point out that coronavirus infections at work were the leading cause of death of American police officers last year, as well as the first few months of this year. Meanwhile, over 130 county staff have been infected so far. Can you tell us about vaccinations, not just for county staff, but across the county? How are we looking?
Vaccinations in Orange County, our numbers are very, very good, especially with the population 65 plus. In the 5th District, we're close to 90% of that population. Countywide, it's in the 70s, which is very good.
Okay. I heard the county health officer mention that we have almost 3.9 million actual injections in people's arms at this point, and that's a pretty good number to have. And we're doing fairly well statewide. We're over 66% statewide with fully vaccinated.
Yes. Our county population is about 3.2 million people, and we have about 2 million people that are vaccinated, which is great.
Okay. I want to talk for just a moment about redistricting. Explain to the audience what redistricting looks like here in Orange County.
Okay. So redistricting starts with the census. So every 10 years, there is a census that is done by the federal government. And then based on the census numbers, there is redistricting based on population movements. So, for instance, this particular year, and it was delayed because of COVID, right. So the census was late, therefore redistricting is coming late. But by December to January of next year, we should have the redistricting completed for the county level through the Board of Supervisors for the 5 supervisorial districts. And then with the State Redistricting Commission, they will determine the boundaries then for the Assembly and Senate districts at the state level, and also the congressional districts as well.
Okay. And how does the average citizen get involved in redistricting? How do we participate in the process and provide input?
We have a number of forums that will be held throughout the county, and we really welcome the public input. So during the month of August, public workshops were held throughout the county. We also encourage any constituent who's interested in redistricting to go online, and they can contact us via email at redistricting@ocgov.com, or they can call the redistricting number, which is 714-834-6000.
Okay. And what is your direct involvement in redistricting? How are you involved directly?
As a county supervisor, we are involved for the supervisorial districts on the redistricting basis. So that's where our involvement will take place.
Okay. And just a dumb guy, I think this is my dumb guy question of the morning. So is it theoretically possible to draw out your district as a departing, let's say you're a departing supervisor, to draw out a district and then run in it as for another office? Is that theoretically possible?
Well, so the districts are based on population. And between all 5 supervisorial districts, you can't have more than a 10% differential in population from the low to the high district. And everything needs to be contiguous. So, for instance, I couldn't have the 11 cities in South County and then Costa Mesa.
Right.
So everything needs to be contiguous next to each other, and population's about the same size in each district. So for the current supervisorial districts, there's about 625,000 per district.
Okay. And back to the census for a second. Because of COVID, do you feel we got an accurate accounting and an accurate census this time around?
I would hope that we we did get an accurate number. There was additional time that was allotted for the census takers to actually go door to door. So if someone had not turned in their census letter with the information filled out, the census workers actually went door to door to try to gather that information. So we had a number of extra months that were spent specific to making sure that most of the information that we need came in from the residents.
Okay. I want to ask you about what we're all watching on television and reading in the papers is our last days in Afghanistan. And I know that we're going to be seeing Afghan refugees coming into Orange County, coming into the country, and certainly into Orange County. As a county, are we prepared for the influx of Afghan refugees?
I believe we are prepared. We are prepared at the county with our wraparound services. Also, we have a lot of safety net programs specific to refugees, for instance.
Okay.
And we have allocated some funds that are set aside. So we are definitely prepared at the county level. We also work very closely with a number of the nonprofits relative to safe housing and to a lot of the different programs that refugees would require when they come into the county.
One of those nonprofits is Access California Services, based out of Anaheim. I believe they're already seeing refugees coming in. So, okay, thank you.
Yes.
And I'd love to tap back with you in a couple of months maybe on that and see how we're doing there, if that's okay.
Okay, and our board offices are always getting contacted about refugees that are relatives, for instance, from a resident who lives in, I have a resident in San Juan Capistrano who contacted me last Monday and said, we've got to get these folks out of Afghanistan. I've got all the passport information for this family. So I contacted our Congressman Mike Levin, and got him on the phone before he left for D.C. that Monday. I was in contact with his chief of staff. We got all of the documents over to his office, and they're working with the State Department to try to effect that evacuation for that family. So every person who really wants to be evacuated out of Afghanistan, you know, we're working hand in hand with the folks in Congress and also with the State Department.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Back to the arts-related small business and nonprofit grant relief program. You said there's no drop-dead date on it, but there is a time where I imagine you won't accept an application?
At some point in time, we need to have a cutoff.
Right.
And if we don't have enough grant applications coming in by, you know, say a month from now,
right,
we may just take those extra dollars and put it into another program where we can get the funds out to people right away.
All right. So I want to make the announcement right now to art-related businesses and nonprofits out there. There's about $600,000 left in the pool to pull from. And these are grants anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 for nonprofits or $5,000 to $12,000 for small businesses. And they're based on the amount of employees that they have. I can't thank you enough for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.
Is there anything else that we talked about music a little earlier? You're a jazz fan.
I am.
Okay, so we have some great jazz programs. I'd love for you to tune into those.
I will definitely do that. I would like to talk about our Nutrition Gap program.
Please do.
So that is another program that we're starting. And when you talk about seniors and disabled veterans and others that are wanting to stay indoors, especially with the Delta variant right now, they're afraid to go to the grocery stores, and yet everyone needs to eat. And so we have a number of different programs that we've had in place over time. This is our third round of the Nutrition Gap program. And what this is, basically you get fresh delivered meals right to your doorstep several days a week, and it covers you for the entire week. So we encourage people to go online at fdngp.211oc.org, or they can just call 211 to get the information.
I think I'll be calling 211.
They can text their zip code as well to 898-211, or they can call our board office at 714-834-3550. And we'll be happy to get information, talk to them about the qualifications for the Nutrition Gap program. But we served tens of thousands of seniors right here in South County during the entire course of COVID from the very beginning. This is our third round of the program, very successful program. We have a number of businesses that are participating. We have four restaurants this go around. We have Ruby's Diner, right, Bella Colina, Villa Roma, and Bamboo Bistro. So people can choose from the different meal programs. And again, it's dropped off right at their door. And it really works well for folks who are afraid to go out right now, afraid to go to the grocery store and out in public, but they feel more comfortable with meals getting delivered to them, and we want to make sure that no one goes hungry.
That's a great program, and thank you for bringing that up. And speaking of feeling comfortable going out, I just quickly want to touch on the fact, when you walk into a grocery store or you walk into a drugstore or whatever, are you masked now, as even though you're fully vaccinated? Are you at that comfort level?
Discomfort level, I should say. Because we still have the Delta variant, right, which is very contagious. When I go out in public, I always wear a face covering, and I take my hand sanitizer spray with me. Right. And I think it's just the responsible thing to do.
Agreed. Supervisor Lisa Bartlett, I can't thank you enough for being here this morning. Really appreciate your time with us. And I look forward to maybe having you back, and we can talk about an update here in the next couple of months.
I would love to do that. We have another program relating to seniors and technology to make sure that they can check out tablets from a library, right, on a no-cost basis and be able to get instructed on how to use a computer, all in the comfort of their own home.
I love this. Can we talk about it real fast?
Certainly.
Okay, please. Yeah. This is stuff I was unaware of, and I'm glad you're bringing this up. Thank you.
Okay, so recently at our Board of Supervisors meeting, I brought forth an agenda item for $2.4 million, and it's to implement technology solutions for our seniors.
Okay.
Again, a lot of the seniors need to schedule doctor's appointments, and they need to communicate with their relatives and family and friends. And they may not feel comfortable going outdoors again. So this gives them the ability to go online, send emails, make doctor's appointments, all in the comfort of their own home. So they would go and check out a tablet just like they would a book. And there's also an instructional program that will be provided so they learn how to use the computers. And when COVID is over, they'll feel comfortable then either checking out another tablet at the library or going to a library or a community center to utilize the desktop computers that are available there. So we want seniors to feel comfortable with technology, and this is a great way at no charge for them to get up to speed with the latest technology.
Great program. Thank you very much. Orange County Supervisor Lisa Bartlett, serving the 5th District, we thank you very much for being here this morning. Appreciate your time with us.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. 8:18 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.